the Elder. Yeah, I hadn't heard of him either. If you have, good. But his exact phrase was, of human virtues, patience is most great. But the phrase that we know is mostly attributed to, it was that phrase was actually kind of referenced in the Canterbury Tales, which you probably at least have heard of the Canterbury Tales. And that was in the 14th century. So by calling patience a virtue, these writers, whether it be Cato or the writer of the Canterbury Tales, they're saying that they believe that the ability to wait without getting irritated, with getting agitated, with getting worked, without getting worked up, is an admirable quality. So even people in the world who, you know, aren't maybe religious in nature can see that this is something that's, you know, obviously a good quality to have. Part of the reason is that patience is a long-standing struggle that we all have. It is because patience goes against our natural instincts. We want something, and we want it now. We don't necessarily want to do what it takes to obtain something or put in the amount of work to be able to get something. So there are fewer qualities that are harder to replicate or produce in our lives, but sorely needed. And so with that kind of foundation on why patience is something that's worthy of our time, and obviously why it was included in this list, I want to use that as kind of a foundation to examine it as being a fruit of the Spirit. Now, my personal opinion is why patience is found in this list is because a lack of patience oftentimes originates in, frankly, results in sin. Lack of patience is sinful because we're oftentimes desiring something that belongs to something, to someone else. We have no right or a claim to it. Or maybe it is in itself a sinful, you know, thing that we desire. And so any of these things could cause us then to do something that's opposed to God's will and His word. For instance, we might steal something because we want it and we're not patient enough to maybe work to save up our money to buy it legitimately. That's what I think of when I think of why patience could be a lack of patience could be sinful. Or, you know, a couple might commit fornication because they're not patient enough to wait for marriage. And so these are the type of things that, you know, even if you're of the mind that you want to save for marriage, patience can cause problems. So with this in mind, let's look at some passages, you know, about patience in the Bible. The word we find here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, this is the Greek word makrothmia. And I saw a pronunciation for that and everything, and that, very proud of myself. Makrothmia. Now, unlike a lot of Greek words where you can look at that and say, oh, that's a root word for this English word, neither could I think of any that are kind of taken over or anglicized into our language from that word. My research didn't show anything. So it is just that. It's a Greek word that means this word. It's not been brought over in any way, shape, or form into English. Now, Strong's defines this word, not a real deep definition. It means forbearance or fortitude. In particular, it means long-suffering or patience. The King James translates this word 12 times as the word forbearance, or long-suffering, and they do translate it as patience twice, one time being here in chapter 5, verse 22. The only other word that I could look at looking through some other versions is the NIV uses the word forbearance. So generally you're going to see mostly long-suffering and patience to be used along with this word. So I want to look at some verses to see how we should be applying that in our life. Now, I realize the New Testament isn't necessarily in a chronological order, but if you look at it as from starting with Matthew, going to Revelation, just going, you know, from as you would read it naturally, the first time we see this word in Scripture is in Romans chapter 2, which Andy read for us. Now, I know Mike is teaching, probably in this, I know he's teaching in this chapter this morning, so I don't really want, that really isn't the point or the basis of a lot of my talk, But I wanted to include this and have Andy read it because we do find patience being found twice in these verses. The first use of patience in this passage is about God and his patience. Paul's asking those who are judging others whether they think they themselves will be able to escape God's judgment. In verse 4, he tells them that if they're thinking that they're not doing anything wrong, just because they haven't been punished yet, they are wrong in thinking that. God's patience is there to allow people to have time, to have the ability to recognize they're wrong and repent. What kind of God would he be that at the moment that we trip up, he punishes us or he jumps on us or in some cases, could kill you, or put you to death? God's patience is what prevents man from receiving immediate judgment. But it's not an indication that he's condoning what that activity might be. And he's not, necessarily turning his sight from it. He is just giving everyone a chance to have that opportunity to repent. Now, in verse 7, we're told that those who are patient will be given eternal life. And it says, but patient regarding what? Well, we're patient regarding first glory. Not glory of this present world, but the eternal glory, which we will find in heaven. Patient regarding honor. Not prideful honor sought out among, our peers and, our co-workers, our fellow students, whatever the situation might be, but the eternal honor that will come upon us by being found faithful in the end. And then we need to be patient regarding immortality. Not immortality of the soul, because everyone has that. Everyone's soul is going to live on forever. But it's being patient for the eternal bodies that we will kind of inhabit once we do get to heaven, and we should be dedicating our lives here on earth to obtain all three of these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul tells the Corinthians that as servants of God, they should commend, some versions say approve, they should commend themselves in every way. He then lists many attributes that should be found among faithful servants. In verse 6, we find patience is included in this list. Patience through tribulation, patience with our brothers and our sisters, our families, patience with those in the world. His servants need to have these qualities to be found to be acceptable. Jumping over to Colossians chapter 1, if we look in verse 11, that passage reads, "May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." This verse tells us that we can be helped with our patience. The power of God is there for those who seek it and apply it to our lives. Patience is not easy, but his followers have him in their corner. He can help them and us have patience. The verse ends by saying that by being patient and long-suffering, that situation will bring us joy. Not joy in this world or joy of this world, but it comes with the satisfaction knowing that we are pleasing him. I copied in the wrong verse. This is in 1 Timothy, I think, chapter 2. I'm drawing a blank on the verse. I realize I wrote Colossians 1:11 down again, but I think this is in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is telling Timothy that he was able to leave his former life because he received mercy from God. He then mentions why the fact that his receiving mercy is so important to everyone. By extending mercy to Paul, God shows his patience for sinners. At that time, Paul was a very well-known persecutor, preaching or speaking out against Jesus and the gospel message that his followers were spreading. He was known at the time, and so if through Paul's receiving mercy and Paul turning his life around and dedicating himself to Christ and his word, he was showing how God would have patience. If he has patience for Paul, He has patience for anybody. That even a terrible sinner like Paul could be saved. It is a means of encouraging other sinners to turn and accept forgiveness. If Christ could save Paul, he could save anyone who would turn to him. And such faith could lead us all to everlasting life. Now, there's some other passages with which we're familiar. I'm going to just quickly read these, not much commentary afterwards. If you want to jump to Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Paul tells Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Paul understood that it was going to take some time with some people to be able to get them to understand what they needed to do for their salvation. He's encouraging Timothy that right after he says you have to be ready, whatever, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, but it's to be done with patience. You can't get worked up. You can't get excited or angry when it might not be proceeding at the pace that you would like it to proceed. Let's jump over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Once again, the glory and the honor and the immortality that comes from being, that we're going to receive at the end, it requires patience in order to obtain those. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 20. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. God's always had patience all the way back to Noah. We don't get much earlier of an account of patience than this reference here. And then the last verse I'd like to read as part of where we could find this word being used. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. 2 Peter 3, 14 through 15. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. Once again, patience is tied to our salvation. We're not going to obtain the reward right away. We have to be patient, and that comes through living a life of service dedicated to him, so that we can have that reward at the end. So in conclusions, patience is definitely a quality that fits in right among these others that we're finding here as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Patience can help keep us away from sin. It won't allow us to try to jump ahead and get what we want now when we may not have it, you know, the right or a reason to have it. And it allows God to do what he says that he's going to do. He's going to allow us to have the opportunity to repent and return back to him. So these are qualities that as we go through our week, through our year, patience is something that we all should be striving for. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Justin to lead us in a word of prayer, and we will be dismissed to our classes.